history tonight. The first father-son duo to play together in an NBA game. This is all in the family. And what a celebration for the James family.
I love it. Courtesy of TNT. I love it. Listen, man. Did anybody cry foul when Gordie Howe played with his sons?
No.
Did anybody cry foul when Ken Griffey Jr. crossed in front of Ken Griffey Sr. to snatch a fly ball from him when they were playing for the Mariners? Stop hating on LeBron just to hating for on LeBron. And for all of you out there that saying, asking the question, the irrelevant question on social media, would Michael Jordan do this for his son? Because Michael Jordan respects the game so much. Look, you can respect Michael Jordan. You can compare Michael Jordan and LeBron as ball players, but don't dare compare them to dads.
I was going to say, would he do it for his son? No, absolutely not. Not for the reason you think.
A lot of things he wouldn't do for his son.
Right.
So yeah, keep the comparison between those two to basketball. Not as men, not as fathers. Stop it. Stop it. This is me opening the door to do something for my son that I can do. Why? Because I can. That's all you got to know. And if you wouldn't do it for your son, shame on you. Or your daughter, shame on you. You know, he's opening the door. That's it. And on top of that, guess what? They won. They beat the Timberwolves. 110 to 103. Listen, I stopped liking the Lakers when LeBron and Anthony Davis and that crew went there to L.A., Ed. Don't make me start liking them again because you guys keep pushing against this thing.
That's what happens, though. The more people do this, I think you garner more sympathy. Because after a while, it's like, oh, come on. Why do you care so much? Seriously, why do you care so much? Why does this deserve so much of your energy? I don't get it.
And the Celtics. It keeps Celticing.
Hey.
They beat up one of those Knicks.
Reigning champs, man. And they look like it.
They look good.
The Knicks look terrible.
Yeah.
They did. I mean, just, you know. It scored like 29 threes.
See, let me ask you this, though. And I had this done to me. I couldn't stop a nosebleed because the guy kept stepping back further and further from the basket, knocking down threes. Is that saying what I can't do or the fact that this guy can't miss?
Yeah, there's that.
Was last night a result of the Celtics just not being able to miss or the Knicks? I don't think they played that poorly. I don't. I just think the Celtics were on fire. Jason Tatum is a bad man. 37 points, 10 assists last night. Come on.
I tell you who surprised me a little bit was McBride.
Yeah, 22 points.
Off the bench, and he can shoot.
Yeah, Miles McBride.
Yeah.
West Virginia boy.
Yeah.
Well, he went to the University of West Virginia. I don't know where he's from.
But he's.
Are you excited about the Knicks this year?
Yeah, I am. Very much. He's from Cincinnati.
Do you think the Knicks have a legit chance?
Yeah, if not for the Celtics. I mean, I think that's the only real challenge to them in the East, I believe. I think they got a great roster. They're one of the best starting fives in the game. If the Celtics stay healthy, they're going to be tough to beat. I can see them repeating. They're very good. But I think the Knicks are going to provide a real challenge. And I'm excited because they're back. I just think it's good for basketball, besides my fandom.
Yeah,
I think it's good when the Knicks are good and the Lakers are good. Teams like that, Celtics. Just the old NBA teams.
The originals. Yeah. ESPN tonight, 7:30, Bucks, Sixers. No telling who's playing for the Sixers, but I'm going to check that one out. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Baltimore. Let's get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
Not much. What's happening with you?
Yeah, all right. The LeBron and Bronny situation, I mean, I could care less. I mean, you was talking about the Howls and the Griffies, but this was like orchestrated, you know. I mean, the Howls and the Griffies, They had talent or whatever. And this, you know, it was a lot of machinations to make this take place.
Hold on. You don't think Gordie Howe was orchestrated? Tell me the situation.
I'm saying as far as the talent of the
The guy came out of retirement to play with his kids. That's the epitome of orchestrated.
I'm just saying, but they was really, you know, had really proven themselves talent-wise, you know, the Griffies and Howe. But anyway, Rob, I don't, you know, it doesn't bother me, the LeBron situation. But the one thing that really tripped me out was I heard a soundbite from LeBron last night, and he said, one thing I told my son is that nothing is given in the NBA. And I'm like, you guys are kidding me, because this whole situation is a given situation. This is what, like, he earned so much to get there and all that. So I just thought that was funny. He said, nothing is given in the NBA.
People talk like Mike and know nothing about Bronny James. They don't know the kid's high school ranking. They don't know coming out of high school when he was signed. The guy had major heart issues his freshman year in college. Major heart issues where he missed almost the entire year.
Yeah.
You have no idea what he was coming out of high school. You have no idea. You don't know about Bronny James other than him being LeBron James' son, and yet you're talking. You're talking, and you don't know about Bronny James.
Didn't he go like into cardiac arrest?
Yes, yeah. At USC. You don't know about Bronny James, but yet you're talking. That's the thing that gets me. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. There's some good games tonight, though, Ed. Last year, I tried to get back into the NBA, and I didn't do it until probably the last month of the season, regular season, into the playoffs, and I enjoyed it. What I've learned about the NBA is you've got to enjoy it for what it is. Like yesterday, Celtics and Knicks were playing, and they set a screen, and they switched. And then you had a little guard on a big 6'10 guy. And I'm like, why would you switch? Why not hedge through? Well, you can't hedge through in the NBA because everybody shoots threes. So it is what it is. And their rotation is completely different than anybody else's. And once you get what you know about basketball out of your mind and just appreciate it for what it is, it's a show. The NBA is a show. NBA like the NFL, and lots of NFL fans do that. NFL fans will still love it. No longer compared to what it used to be. You know, NFL crunch course can't be a thing anymore where bone-crushing hits and things like that, things that we grew up on.
You mean the videos used to make?
Yeah, yeah. That we grew up on. Yes. There's no, you know, jacked up. Remember that on ESPN?
Yes.
That's not the NFL anymore. So you got to love it for what it is. The NBA is a lot like that. You got to love the NBA for what it is. You do.
It got me to watch last night. For me to watch an NBA game. Early in the season when there's no, you know, not like they're fighting for the division or anything. I watched.
Yeah. It's a show.
Yeah.
It's a star-driven league, and it's a show. If you're just tuning in, the Chiefs and the Titans are finalizing the deal that will send DeAndre Hopkins to the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, Joe, the rich get richer. Any word on what the compensation is for the other side?
No, I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, they're finalizing it right now. It's going to happen. And how much better does this make the Chiefs?
A lot.
Already undefeated.
A lot. Just, you know, they're winning ugly. If you want to listen to Mahomes, he said they're still not playing well. But either way, that you talk about the rich getting richer. D-Hop, to me, was one of the best receivers in the league. I know he's getting up there in years, and, you know, he's over 30. The man didn't drop a pass one season.
Yeah.
Had not one drop. He's a phenomenal wide receiver. And a guy like that, with Mahomes throwing the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. How would your career be if Manny's man was throwing the ball to you?
Right.
Not very good. Joe, you say you have some details now?
Yeah. Ian Rappaport just reported it is a fifth rounder that can become a fourth based on incentives. So it's a conditional fifth.
There you go.
That's what they got him for?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, all the Raiders got for Randy Moss from the Patriots was a fourth rounder. Wasn't it a fourth rounder, I think, that they got for Randy Moss? That's what happens when you buy low.
Yeah.
Randy Moss at the time was a buy low situation because people thought he'd lost it.
It was a fourth.
It was a fourth rounder?
Yeah, for Randy Moss.
For Randy Moss. Hall of Famer. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Kim McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock in studio, as he does every, well, normally Tuesdays, this time Wednesday. But on the other side, our barbershop topic of the day. Through seven games, do you think the Ravens have proven they can beat the Chiefs? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:18 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, who's out today. He'll be back tomorrow. Word on the street.
Streets are talking.
Streets are talking. And they're staying, they're asking, where's Jeremy Kahn?
Mm-hmm.
Barbershop topic of the day. Through seven games, Ed, do you think the Ravens have proven that they can beat the Chiefs?
Not until they beat them. I'm sorry. I think they're a better team than the Chiefs. But this gotten to the point where, you know, even I could say, listen, I think you're a much more talented team. You were last year. You couldn't beat them. I think you should have won the first game this year against them. Couldn't beat them. Until they can beat the Chiefs, that's their kryptonite right now.
See, if the Ravens hadn't played the Chiefs in the first seven games,
mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know what? I believe they can beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But considering they have, and I don't want to hear the excuses, yeah, but they played them in the first game of the season. Yeah, but they played them in Kansas City. I don't care when they played them or where they played them.
No, they should have won that game.
They didn't win.
No.
So to me, in the first seven games, the Ravens have proven to me that they still can't beat the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a problem. It's really a problem. And I'm very concerned about it because I think, you know, you have a better roster. You're a better team overall. And, like, you just can't seem to beat this team. You know, they just, I don't know if it's become psychological or what, but that they had that game. They should have won that game. And they should have won the AFC Championship last year. So until you can beat them, no, I'm not convinced.
Remember back, I think, I want to say it was the early 2000s. If not, it was the late 90s when Pedro Martinez, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, it was both the late 90s and the early 2000s. And he would pitch wonderful. He won 3 out of 4 Cy Youngs. And the time he didn't win in those 4 years, he finished second. And he was just great. And he would just pitch great games against the Yankees, but always late, give up a base hit or a home run. And after the game, they asked him about it. He said, "The Yankees are my daddy." Remember that? Yeah. And then the Yankee fans start chanting, "Who's your daddy?"
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are our daddy.
Apparently.
We play great games against them. We hold them tight, hold them to 17 points, shut them out in the second half, home game, AFC championship game, and we still can't beat them.
Drives me crazy because you watch these games and you see with your own eyes that they look like they have the number. They can win, and they don't. It's like you mentioned that your daddy. It's like you're wrestling with your father when he's still, you know, stronger than you. And then you think you have him, and then he lets you know he's your father at the last minute.
Yeah. Yeah. You're still not there yet.
No.
You march downfield, Thursday night football to open the season. Momentum is on your side. Receiver back in the end zone. You throw a strike. And his toe.
Yeah. Yes.
Hits the line. His toe.
Choice of cleats.
You just can't beat that team.
No.
The Ravens are, to me, the second best team in football.
It's pretty much what all the polls say right now.
Except for Stephen A. He has them third best.
Mm. Who's he got second? The Lions?
No. Lions are first. Chiefs are second.
Oh, wow.
According to him yesterday.
Mm. Interesting.
So, you're going to face him again in the playoffs. The only thing you can continue to do is just keep stacking up. And, oh, by the way, the Chiefs are finalizing the deal for DeAndre Hopkins. I'm blaming Joe for that. You were the first to say it, so I'm blaming you. First person I heard say that to me
this morning. That makes total sense.
The first person I heard tell me was Joe, so I'm blaming Joe.
Total sense, man. World War II, those Polish guys, they were the first one to find out they were getting invaded. It's Poland's fault.
First ones.
It's all Poland's fault.
Man, I normally blame Adam Schefter. The day I'm blaming Joe LaCroix.
But if I see Adam Schefter tweet it.
I didn't see it. I heard you. Straight from you. That's going to be a problem. You know that. DeAndre Hopkins with
yeah, it's gonna be a problem.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Two Hall of Famers.
For everybody.
I think DeAndre Hopkins is a Hall of Famer. You think so?
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, it's one of those things like in his era, one of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
I think eventually he gets there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's done. 32 years old, I don't think he's done. I think he had a horrible quarterback situation in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think you give him a brain, an offensive mind like Andy Reid, and a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. All of a sudden, he's going to be productive again. They're going to figure out how to use him.
Yeah, I mean, they got a guy like Kelsey taking the pressure off you.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to have to be the guy all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I think he's got another couple of years in him.
I hate it. So, after seven games, our barbershop topic of the day, do you think the Ravens have proven they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Give us a call, 410-583-1057. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Coming up on 7:30 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Good morning to you, Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. We'll be back tomorrow. He's under the weather. Kim McCusick will join us in studio at 8 o'clock. But right now, want to hear from you on our barbershop topic of the day. Through seven games, do you think the Ravens have proven they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Let's go out to Connor in Middle River. What's up, Connor?
Not much. Just wanted to call in and say, no, I really don't think that the Ravens, through seven games, have proven they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. It's pretty much same story, different week every week. Get up. We have a lead. Give up that lead. Until we can do that, I don't think it's going to happen. You give Patrick Mahomes time at the end of the game, especially with getting Hopkins, yep. Not going to happen.
I agree. Hey, Connor, thanks a lot, my man. Connor joining from Middle River. Shiloh in West Baltimore. What's up, Shiloh?
Hey, Rob. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I ain't going to say what I really want to say because it's going to turn into a whole debate, but I will say this. When you play against the Chiefs, it's like you're playing against another whole different team in the NFL. The Chiefs make the NFL look real good. I'm going to leave it right there. I don't want to debate. But what I will say is this, right? I think the Raiders can beat the Chiefs because they have beat them before. They might not beat them as many times the Chiefs beat us, but we have beat them before. But what I do know is this, right? Every time we play them, for some reason, I'm going to start at the top of this organization. For some reason, we forget how to play football, right? I know our defense has not been playing good, but how you play good all year long, and then when you go get play against the Chiefs at home in the AFC Championship, you forget how to play. So let's start with the top. Like, for instance, if Andy Reid was the coach of this team, imagine how many wins we had. I'm going to leave that right there because that's going to be a debate, right? But once again, when you play against the Chiefs, you're playing against the NFL. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Have a good day.
You have a good day too, Shiloh. Let's go on the road and get Dave. What's up, Dave?
Good morning. How you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Good. I'm doing good. I do think the Ravens can beat the Chiefs. I think with our offense, I think we can beat them in a shootout if we have to.
No, Dave. Let me go back to the question. I think they can. The question is, have they proven that they can?
I think so. I think so. With the way this offense is playing this year, I think so.
Okay. They've beaten them once in the last 5 years.
Yeah. There's that.
I mean, because if you look at the Chiefs are 9-5 against the Ravens, so they've beaten the Ravens and won five times. But that was like, you know, 2009, 2010, yeah. 11, 12. The last since 19, the only game we won was in 21.
I'll say this again. If you tell me, do you think the Ravens could beat the Chiefs? Yeah, I think they can.
Sure, they can.
But Joe's question is, through the first seven games, have they proven that? Well, with the fact that they've played them and lost to them, no, they haven't proven that. How have they proven it? They played. See, if the Ravens were 5-2 and hadn't played the Chiefs, there's that mystique, that mythical A, we could probably beat them. I think we can beat them. We could convince ourselves of it. But considering one of the two losses is against the Chiefs, no, they haven't proven it.
Listen, lost them twice this year.
Yeah, calendar year, you're right.
Right?
Daryl in Baltimore. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
All right. Hey, you know, well, the question is, have they proven that they can beat them this year? No, they haven't proven they can beat them. But I believe in my heart, I know they can beat them. I mean, it's just, when the Chiefs step on the Ravens and Chiefs get on the field with each other, I don't fear the Chiefs. But Ravens are right in this game every time. It's just that the Chiefs have been getting the breaks. Tyreek Hill, 4th-and-17, last year.
Well, hey, I believe the Ravens can win a Super Bowl, Daryl, but they haven't proven that they can. My belief and what's actually happened are two different things.
Yeah, I agree with that, but you know, until you do it, you have to do it. But
that's my point.
I don't fear the Chiefs. I believe they're going to beat them.
Daryl, you're answering questions that we hadn't asked. Nobody asked if you feared them. Nobody asked if you think they could. We asked, have they proven? What have they done on the field to prove? I don't fear the Chiefs either. I think the Ravens can beat the Chiefs. However, that's not the question.
No, I think the Panthers could beat the Chiefs if the moon, you know, if the stars are aligned, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know? Have they proven that they can beat the Chiefs? West Baltimore, Troy. What's up, Troy?
Hey, what's going on?
Hanging in there, man.
Good morning to all of y'all.
Morning.
Yeah, it's kind of after the first game, the complexity of the game, right? You got to look at it from that standpoint to now. You know, it's hard to say they prove they can beat the Chiefs because they beat us, okay? But if you look at that game versus the AFC Championship game, we can beat them. We can beat them. I came away from that first game more convinced than any time we ever played the Chiefs, any time, because we self-destruct in that game.
So,
We do. That's right. And they did it again in September. Like, why do you think if that's what you see that they can beat the Chiefs because they haven't done it?
See, if someone called and said to me, let me just give you a counter, you know, because as attorneys and all that, the attorneys sometimes have to prove things that they don't believe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you called and said, yeah, they lost to them head-to-head the first game of the season, but if you look at what the Ravens and the Chiefs have both done the last five games, to me, the Ravens have proven they can beat the Chiefs. I don't believe that, but that's more rational than you saying, I think they can.
Especially if you're going to give the caveat that we always beat ourselves or we shoot ourselves in the foot. That's exactly why I'm worried. You have the games in hand against them and you don't win.
Let's go to Greg in Baltimore. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing, bud?
All right. So actually, Rob, you kind of took what I was about to say, but not exactly. But like in a sense of have the Ravens proven they can, I probably would actually say yeah, because if you like, yes, one of their two losses was to the Chiefs.
Uh-huh.
But it was on a last-second touchdown with a toe that went out of bounds. So that's first. And second, this version of Lamar and Henry that we have right now in week seven, or really weeks three through seven, is not the same version that we had week one when we played them.
There you go, Greg. Make me believe it, Greg. Greg, thank you, man. Make me believe
that's
it.
Better.
That, make me believe it. That's an argument.
There you go.
The version of the team now versus the version of the team the first 2 weeks? Yeah, hell right. Damn right. We've proven we can beat them. Yeah. I don't have to believe it, but, you know, give me an argument.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's go to San Antonio and get Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Rob, and I got four more months here. I can't wait to go back home, man. As far as the question goes, no, we can't. Our defense is too suspect right now, Rob. All it would take is one mistake. I mean, I definitely believe it would be a shootout, but I think our defense has to improve at least to get close to Kansas City level. And that's all I got on that.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for the call, man. Roberto in Bowley's Corners. What's up, Roberto?
What's up, guys? Good morning. I think the Ravens have proved so far that they can beat the Chiefs this year. But the only thing they haven't proved yet this year is that they can't beat themselves.
Okay.
Every game, like so far this year, they always have these penalties and always, you know, certain things that come up that, you know, clock management and everything that they still take it out of their own way.
Yeah.
That's the one thing so far that they, to me, that they proved this year. The offense is clicking, probably the best in the NFL, top one or two, hands down. But they still can't get out of their own way with all these simple mistakes. And clock management.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call, Roberto. Let's go, Mike in White Plains. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, fellas? You know what I think, man. For whatever reason, when the Ravens play Kansas City, they change the game plan. Everybody else, they run the ball on, they do this, they do that. They play Kansas City, and suddenly Lamar wants to drop back and throw the ball. It just seems like the game plan changes. You know, that's not the same team we've been watching all season long when they played them for whatever reason.
Mike, I equate that to? I agree with you, first of all. But I almost feel like, you know, the coaching staff is saying, you know what, let's beat Andy Reid at his own game. Instead of just winning the game, instead of trying to beat the Chiefs, it feels like they're trying to beat Andy Reid.
And they can't do it. They can't do it. They got to play their game. Do not play Kansas City's game. You play your game, you win the game. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Thank you, Mike. Let's go to Trippy in Baltimore. What's up, Trippy?
Hey, hello. Yeah, man, that boy Jeremy Kahn, boy, he ducking, man. Man, Rashawn looking for him. It's like, no. But, hey, I'm going to be honest with y'all, right? We could beat the Chiefs, right? Because we know what the offense could do, but what get under my skin, right? And I can't get mad at what people say is, oh, it's going to be a shootout. Don't nobody want to be in no shootout with Kansas City, especially when the refs on their side, you feel me? But I feel like, I'm going to keep saying it every day, our defense right now, and I don't even care if the coach say I'm a flip-flop or whatever, our defense is trash right now. This ain't the Ravens defense that we used to always see back in the day, three and out. Zach Orr said we was going to be physical. I ain't seen nothing physical yet. It seemed like we soft out there. But
I don't know about that. I don't know. Hey, Trippy, come on, dude. I mean, Kyle Hamilton should have had a flag for defenseless receiver. Roquan had two blow-up hits. I don't know about that.
Dude's ankle inside out.
I don't know about that, Trippy.
Let me say something real quick, though, right? Only reason why I'm saying that, because you see, every time I say something, look, they start balling out.
I got you.
I'm going to be honest with you. Defense trash this week. I think Nick Chubb's going to run all over this week. I think Jameis Winston going to throw 500 yards on this week. I want to see the defense step up. You see what Marlon Humphrey been doing. So, you know what I mean? But, hey, I really called in, right, because I called Joe, and that's crazy Joe ain't giving my shout-out, because when I called, I told Joe the news that D-Hop got traded, you feel me? But, you know, but it's crazy, though, man. Whoever that GM is, he lucky I ain't calling for the shovel, because I would have gave him a shovel. How you going to trade D-Hop to a team that's trying to three-peat, right?
Yeah.
But you might need to try to give us Derrick Henry last year. Like, that's crazy. But, hey, y'all have a good Wednesday. I talk to y'all tomorrow.
All right, man. That is crazy. How do you get Kansas City something? You're in the same conference. I guess Tennessee feels like we ain't going to win. What we get?
Just have Joe took a stray.
For no reason. No reason. This is drive by Joe. Ken McCusick joins us in studio at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, Oreo owner David Rubenstein recently told NPR that he doesn't have many years left. Therefore, he's trying to win now. Does that give you goosebumps? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
I'm trying to do everything I can with my partners to make sure that the team has everything it needs to win a championship. It may take time. Some people own teams for 10 or 15 or 20 years and don't win a World Series. So I have to recognize that it may not happen. I am now 75 years old. It's unlikely that I'll be, you know, doing this for 20 more years. So I've got to speed up the effort to get a World Series a lot sooner than maybe some younger owners would.
Man. 75 years old, just turned 75 in August. He's saying that I don't have the time or nor the patience to be around here trying to slowly build this thing. Mr. Rubenstein, first of all, let me say I'm not glad that you're thinking about being 75 and not having time. That's not a good thing. However, I am thrilled with your sense of urgency.
Yes.
I am thrilled with the sense of urgency that which you have displayed so far. I hope that sense of urgency is carried out during the offseason.
I think that was the impression I got when he got here.
Me too.
That, you know, I want to have a good time. I don't have a long time. Just I want to really, you know, see this happen before I leave. You know, and it's a real thing as you start to get older. Like, hey, you know. You start to get, I don't know, you accept your own mortality. I'm not going to be here forever. So what am I going to do here? And I think that's, it's kind of cool that he's thinking, not these things, again, not mortality, but that he's thinking about a championship.
Yeah, I love it, man. I mean, and I think Oriole fans love it as well. You know, he's realistic. He's real with himself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for this. This is not a 20-year plan. This is a let's go now plan. And I don't think being quickly eliminated from the postseason sat well with him. Not in the sense of, I'm firing you. No. I think he strikes me as a person. He knows personnel.
Mm-hmm.
He knows, you know, maybe we don't have everything in place that we need to have in order to have those expectations. We have enough in place to get there, but maybe not enough in place to get over the hump.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, they're going to have some big questions, you know, with Santander and, you know, Burns and stuff. So what are you going to do? You need pitching. You got to have it.
Yep.
You know, and you look at who are the two teams in the World Series right now? Two of the highest spending teams in baseball whose rosters never start in those cities. You know, it's ridiculous how many players came from elsewhere to be on the Dodgers. They're even worse than the Yankees at this point. But both of them are like this. So I don't know. I think maybe he'll have to start doing that, start picking up some of these, you know, superstars that are out there.
I don't mind that because as long as the core is, I hate to go to this team, but let's go to the Yankees of the 90s and early 2000s.
When they were homegrown?
The core was.
Yeah.
Where was Derek Jeter from?
Mm-hmm.
Who was Mariano Rivera?
Posada.
Posada, the lefty pitcher they had at the time. Who was the lefty pitcher from the Yankees at the time? Pettit.
Oh, Andy Pettit, yeah.
You know what I mean? These guys were homegrown. That was your core. Bernie Williams.
Bernie Williams.
You know, you had your core, the core guys who could talk about their Yankee pride coming up in the system. And then you added around them. So here, you know, you have Adley Rutschman. You have Gunnar Henderson. You have Couser. If you decide to keep Cedric Mullins, but you got your guys. You have your guys. I know Anthony Santander was not drafted or signed originally by the Orioles. Not drafted, but signed by the Orioles originally. That's where he got his comeuppance. He's a Rule 5 guy. He had played double A in Cleveland. So, as long as you keep your core, I'm good to go. Let's go to Mike. Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. I got two major points about what Rubenstein said. One, the first point is I'm expecting two big-name arms and a big-name bat if he wants to win soon and not later. And then the second point is he needs to set that expectation with Elias because Elias – has dropped the ball back-to-back years with one of the best teams in the AL without doing anything at the trade deadline.
We picked up Zach Eflin.
We drool over.
Wait. He picked up the best pitcher available at the trade deadline. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about as far as the last 2 years where we've needed help. Corbin Burns isn't going to sign again because
he wouldn't got Zach Eflin is what he's saying, yeah, Mike. Eflin in the trade deadline. That was it ended up being the best pitcher available.
The best pitcher available, but what's that done for us in the playoffs?
But you said he got to pick up people. He picked Zach Eflin produced.
He was stellar in the playoffs.
Exactly. What are you talking about? Not only that, but down the stretch he produced. He was their best pitcher down the stretch. Joe in Cockeysville. What's up, Joe?
Hey guys, I listened to him, and since I turned 71 in October, I was, you know, sitting there and listening to him say, oh, you know, some people have to wait 20 years, and I'm like, 20 years? And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, you went to the World Series in 1983. That was 41 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get it. I get where the guy's coming from now, and I love the enthusiasm. I love the fact that I think he's willing to spend money. I think the environment in baseball is very hard to retain players right now. And, you know, I look so forward to what this guy is going to bring compared to the Angelos in those years where you were turning off the television or the radio in June. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the future. And no, will we have Corbin Burns? Probably not. But you know, he'll get players, he'll sign players, and we're going to be competitive for years to come. And that's a lot better than it has been.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate that. AJ in Baltimore. What's up, AJ?
Hey, fellas. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
Who from the outside should he target? Who y'all three that he think he should target?
That's a whole list of it's a whole list of free agents. He got from the outside he should target. He got a guy called Give Us Homework. How you call Give Us Homework? How'd that happen, Joe? First of all, before we talk his guys from the outside, he needs to talk his guys from the inside. Anthony Santander needs to be targeted.
Yeah.
All right. Corbin Burns possibly needs to be targeted. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not going after Max Scherzer. I'm not doing that. Starting pitchers that are available. You got Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander. I'm not going after either one of those guys. Rumor has it that Gerrit Cole could opt out. I don't know about that. Blake Snell has a player option. Would you still take Robbie Ray? He has an opt-out year as well. I don't know about pitching, how much is really out there.
We have control over Eflin, right?
Yeah, you got Eflin.
Yeah.
Michael Wacha has a player option for Kansas City. He may decide to go. Max Fried is a UFA as well. So is Jack Flaherty. I don't want Jack Flaherty, but that may be something. Kyle Hendricks. I mean, he's 35 years old. Those are Shane Bieber is a free agent as well. Jose Quintana is a free agent. That's your guy. Luis Severino, do you want him? 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Commissions Baltimore at 8:30, but on the other side, we do some film study with our man Ken McCusick up next on the Fan.